Welcome back to the Midweek Focus. Ricky Klaverkamp here, and I am joined now by the Oak School Board President, Sonia Meehl. Sonia, how are we doing today on this Wednesday that the weather can't decide what she wants to do?
Well, I'm doing fine, Ricky. Thanks for having me today.
Of course. And, we're a week and a single day from the school referendum on, mill levies and all that stuff. And so you wanted to come on today and we'll chat a little bit about that upcoming. And you have some history you wanted to go over first.
Right. So, Ricky, our community is navigating a school board bond referendum. And this is something that we have not done in our community in 25 years.
That's older than me.
Yes. And that one failed. The last time a bond referendum passed in our community was in 1981. So that has been more than 40 years since we've had a referendum that has passed. So this is new to us. This is something we have not done, most of us have not done before. So the current school board and district started this process nearly a year ago when our superintendent, Mrs. Sell, recognized the need for a long-term facilities plan. Now, most of you know Mrs. Sell is trained as an educator, and facilities are not her strength. And to her credit, she recommended that the district should contract with a company that would gather data about all of our facilities and help us to create a long-term plan for maintenance and improvements. So without trying to throw any previous superintendent or board members under the school bus here, including myself, this is something that should have been done years or even decades ago, and it wasn't. Or if it was, you know, it wasn't in a form that stayed in the forefront of the minds of the board and superintendents as it should have. In fairness, like in most organizations and businesses, there's greater turnover in leadership now than there has been in the past. And when people leave, knowledge is lost.
Yeah.
When I got on the school board, Oaks Public School had had only six superintendents since 1932. With the shortest of their tenures being 5 years of service. The other five superintendents during that period had served from at least 15 to over 20 years.
Whew.
I got on the board in 2012. I am now serving with my fifth superintendent. So I've served also with three different business managers, one who has was with the district for over 40 years, obviously the first one, and 12 different school board members. Some of those members have served only one three-year term, either because they chose to or because they were defeated in an election. And so with this turnover of leadership comes a loss of institutional knowledge. And like all jobs, like your job, like everyone's job, it takes some time in the position to learn what the job entails, how to do it, and how the work is accomplished. And that's certainly true as school board members and superintendents. And so that just really highlighted to me the need for this written long-term plan for facilities and for all of the aspects of our educational system.
Yeah, and I mean, when you have that big of turnover, I mean, you do lose everything. I mean, I remember in the Army right now, they're experiencing high turnover. I was in the Army for 6 years, and I mean, I went through like three different commanders within the span of three different years. It's like you lose a lot of that, and you lose a lot of how things work. And maybe this did happen, like a plan for the future. But when somebody leaves and they're the only one that knows what's going on, well, no one else knows what's going on.
Yeah. So we started this process about a year ago in April of 2023, and the hoped for deliverable out of this relationship with our consultant ICS was this written long-term, long-range facilities plan. They started in last April, May, and when internal stakeholders, our staff, our students, our board, all were able to provide input both on facilities needs and some wants. That analysis work continued into the summer. Well, meanwhile, you might recall, in May, the air conditioning unit in the high school failed.
Yep.
Despite our best and costly efforts, it could not be repaired. And we chose not to try to replace it at that time. It would have cost over $400,000, we estimate, while we were completing our thorough analysis of our entire facilities. So the consultants began reporting to the board in stages in July, August, and September, and revealing their findings, what stakeholders identified as the most important needs and wants, and a concept was developed of a major improvement plan with estimated costs of nearly $17 million. Mm. So then from September through December, many opportunities were offered, and dozens of stakeholders toured our facilities, attended meetings, watched presentations, and responded to surveys. A community action group of about 15 people met three times and had some really deep tours and information and real deep question and answer sessions with our consultants in the month of December. That group really scrutinized the plan, and they encouraged the district to remove anything that was wants and stick with just the needs. So the board's response at that time was to reduce the proposed project by about $2 million, and that now we've reached the estimate of the current bond referendum, the current proposed plan of $14.84 million. An astounding amount of money.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a lot, but I remember that when that chiller went out, when that AC went out, the volleyball games were hot that year. Very, very hot last year, and it's, I'm glad that that is one of the needs that is hopefully going to be addressed, and yeah, it does come down to $17 million, it's, many people go, oh, well, 17. Once you get that big, it's like, oh, it's just another, but no. You sit there and you go, that's another $2 million.
Yeah, it was, the reduction we responded with was about 12% of the project, yeah. of the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the board is unified behind this plan that we've proposed to voters. For me, when we voted in January to send this plan to the voters, 88% of survey respondents in December said that they wanted to see this go to a vote by the month of March. So it wasn't a difficult decision to send this to the voters. However, shaping and forming the final project was very challenging for all of us. But the board is unified behind the plan that we have proposed right now. I want to be clear, though, that I'm speaking today not on behalf of the board or the district or any other board member. I want to share some of the things that I have heard, and I'd like to share my reasons for personally supporting this plan.
Of course. And I mean, I know in the community, it can be a very polarizing issue. School board referendums are, I mean, you want to talk local government and local politics. Well, it doesn't get any more small and local than this.
You are right.
So, I mean, I lived in a township, and those town hall meetings in Linden Township could get feisty. Mm. So, yeah. What did you have to for responses today?
Well, so some of the things I've heard is, of course, some people would just really like to build a new school.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we all love to have a beautiful new school building? But I know that the nearly $15 million amount that is in our proposal is an amazing amount of money. But I believe that if we were to get estimates to build a new school, they would range from at least 3 to 5 times that amount.
Yeah.
Those are not numbers that our taxpayers can afford. Mm-hmm. We know that. And even if we wanted to present that to our voters, state law forbids us from going into debt by more than 10% of our district's assessed valuation, which would be a total debt of about $23 million. We would not be able to build the kind of a facility that we want for that amount.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember back to St. Cloud when they put in their new school. It was darn near, and I mean, St. Cloud, big school. It was darn over. I know it was over a couple hundred million dollars. Filled that thing. Mm. It's like that's even more money. That you, if you can admit, make what works, what you have work for less, why not do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing that I've heard is that the state of North Dakota has a great deal of money and they should build a new school for us or help us build a new school. Well, I'm kind of connected with what's going on in the state legislature with regard to school financing, and I'd say it's highly unlikely that the state's going to start building schools for school districts mm-hmm. in the state. That would be a never-ending bucket of money that they simply are not. But I do think that the legislature will address the school construction needs in the next session, possibly by expanding the state school construction loan fund. And there will be other ideas that are considered, but the legislature moves very slowly.
Yeah.
And there are no guarantees that anything would happen. And meanwhile, our facilities continue to deteriorate. Another question has been, why does it make sense to put all this money into a 100-year-old high school building? And, of course, that's an excellent question. A few years ago, we had a structural engineer thoroughly examine our building and identified some issues of concern. That led to, most notably, the third floor, the deflection of the third floor of the high school, and we repaired that in the summer of 2023. They also advised that we need to repair the exterior brick and mortar, and we expect to be able to do that in the next year or two as funds are available to do so. There are other issues that they identified, but those were thought to be mostly cosmetic or minor. But if the project moves forward, most certainly a structural engineer will take a look at the building again to mm-hmm. see if there has been anything that's missed and bring that to our attention before we proceed.
And that comes down to, I mean, it's a 100-year-old building, yeah, but keeping care of a 100-year-old building, it's not like a modern-day building where, like, you one thing goes wrong and you're like, tear it apart. It's all going to fall apart within the next 2 years anyway. No, these 100-year-old buildings were built to last. And, I mean, when you keep care of the buildings, they will last another 100 years.
Well, we would hope. And yeah. I'm not going to be on the board anymore then. So
yeah, I mean, I won't even be alive. Yeah. So, neither of us will be alive at that point.
No, that's for sure. But we would like to do the best we can for mm-hmm. our building, with our building right now. Another thing that's been brought up is that these repairs should have been done years ago. And we shouldn't have built the South Gym or the Central Office. And, you know, people that say that may very well be right. But decisions, I believe, were made in good faith by previous board members, guided by administrators who were addressing the needs they perceived to be the most important at the time in the environment, the financing environment, the economy that they lived in at the time. We did indeed, because we didn't replace these systems 10 or 15 years ago or 20. We did get 10 or 15 or 20 more years out of them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't unbuild the projects that we built. And I can assure you that the spaces, the South Gym and the Central Office, they are well used by our students, staff, and community for many, many hours every school day of the year and beyond.
Yeah.
If we had attempted to replace those mechanical systems at that time, as we're proposing to do now, it may have been just as difficult
mm-hmm.
In our community to get support of that. Or if we had done so, maybe the district would be coming now to the voters to build another gym or the central office structure. And these would be far more costly than they were at the time they were built.
Yeah. And I mean, you can look back as much as you want, and hindsight's always 20/20, but
yeah.
Still, and it's like, I mean, we use the South Gym almost half the year at the very least for sports. I know I'm in there half the year from start of volleyball in September all the way until, well, a couple weeks ago, and it's being used.
It's used All day long for elementary gym classes. The North Gym is used all day long for high school gym classes. We just hosted an archery tournament in both gyms. The central office and library serves as a public library as well as school. Students and staff are moving back and forth for art classes, music classes, gym classes all day long. Our administrators are now all together in a central location where visitors know that that is the place to enter the building and check in, where previously we didn't have a central location. Yeah. Our offices were located all over the building, and when visitors entered the building, sometimes they would knock on the door of a classroom and ask, how do I get to the principal or the superintendent's office? So all of that was resolved with the central office. And it's well used.
Yeah, and I've seen it being well used. So, I mean, and that's where you can go vote anyways to this next Tuesday or next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
We keep saying Tuesday here on in the office. It's because everybody thinks that Tuesday is the election day. No, it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Sure that everybody knows it's Thursday.
So a couple more things that I keep hearing are that the bids are too high or that we didn't get competitive bids for the project. Well, we don't have bids at all. What we have are estimates based on review of projects of a similar type and scope that have been completed in our region in recent years. Plus, they've included consideration for inflation, contingency, engineering and design, and financing costs. So the costs are all in. We hope I won't say that I expect, but we can hope that the estimates are over what the final costs would be, but we don't expect that. But we cannot design a project and get bids until we have funding in place. Finally, I've heard, what is our plan B? Well, I would say this is our plan B. As I described earlier, we had previously about a $17 million proposal. We did not bring that to our voters until we removed the $2 million of what we would think of as non-essentials, nice to have, but not necessary needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that does, again, come down to almost just fiscal responsibility. It's like, okay, well, if we can't afford the wants and people don't want to pay for all the wants, this is what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. It's fiscally responsible.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope we can say that.
Yeah.
So just finally, what some reasons why, again, I'm speaking only for myself, not for other board members or the district as a whole, but why I support this plan. You know, the sewer, the HVAC, the kitchen, and the windows are all well beyond their expected useful life. The air conditioner is not repairable. And while it's possible that we could get some more life out of some of the heating components, something could fail at any time and it would be difficult or impossible to repair. The windows, I believe, are a safety hazard. If we don't address these issues now, they will only become more expensive due to inflation, and repairing these systems in an emergency would be far more costly and disruptive to our education should they have to be done during the school year. So yes, of course, this project would increase your property taxes, but since I've been on the board in 2012 through 2022, the district has asked for a total of from about $1.5 million to $2.1 million per year from our local taxpayers. This includes the building fund levy, which has been used both to pay the debt for the South Gym and the central office construction projects. And that building fund levy currently generates about $450,000 a year. So we have only two payments left of $110,000 on that debt. And so going forward, after those two payments are made, we will have the full 20 mil building fund levy available to do the important, smaller, but important, still important maintenance needs in the district. So that was through 2022. Now in 2023, that's the taxes that you are paying now in 2024 for the 2023 tax levy, we added an additional 12 miscellaneous mills. This is authority that we have always had the ability to do, and we have not levied that. We needed to do so in 2023 so that we could recoup what we had the expensive repairs of the third floor and the previous year's sewer project, which were large and emergency and unexpected repairs that we needed to do. If this bond referendum is not passed, in my opinion, and I'm not speaking for any other board members, it seems very likely that we will need to continue to levy that additional 12 mills to address ongoing maintenance needs. But those 12 mills will not be nearly enough to upgrade these systems that are really needed to be upgraded. If the referendum passes, it may be that we will not need to continue levying those mills, but those are decisions that are to be made by mm-hmm. future boards. So if, in fact, the district chooses not to levy those 12 miscellaneous mills, it would soften the blow of the larger mill levy for the sinking and interest fund that would be established in order to pay the debt for this project, mm-hmm. for these bonds.
Yeah, and I know that has been, I think, probably the biggest thing is it's the taxes. Everybody, no one likes taxes. No one does. Everyone pays them. There's only two things in life that are certain, death and taxes. And even when you die, you still can't escape your taxes. But it's like, yeah, but you know where it's going. You do know where it's going. And I know that's where you guys are coming from. And I know there are questions out there, but this is the plan we got right now. Let's see what happens. Right.
Yeah. And I'd also like to remind the people that looking back on state school finance records, Oaks has consistently been one of the lowest per pupil cost operating districts in the state, not just in the last few years, but for many decades. Sometimes we were the very lowest among high school districts in the state of North Dakota. So your district has operated very efficiently. Mm-hmm. And the board has undertaken this bond referendum following the process required by law. This is new to all of us, the mm-hmm. board, administrators, and the public, and we're all learning together. I have experienced a lot of respectful discussion and questioning, and I appreciate that. We have many very smart people in our district and very caring people. And I'm very thankful that all of the people that have attended meetings, tours, asked questions. I'm especially thankful for people that have challenged the project and asked mm-hmm. hard questions, because I think hard questions make plans better. Mm-hmm. And if the referendum passes and we're able to move forward, I still think that there will be opportunities to make the plan even better in the future, because there's a long way to go even if the bond referendum passes.
Yeah, every good plan needs to survive scrutiny, and a good plan will take the scrutiny, and if there is actual important things that, like, hey, this needs to be not this, then yeah, you fix your plan. So it's great that you guys are looking at the scrutiny, you guys are taking the questions, you guys are taking all these things. And I know Anna and I talk once a month, and she's been very open, like, hey, we like it when people come on in and say, well, how about this or how about this? It's important to any, and it's local politics. It's local election. It's local. You need to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And I've just appreciated the people that have asked me good questions, thoughtful questions, because they are sometimes things I haven't thought of, and it causes me to go dig deeper and ask experts more questions about how this works, because, as I said, it's new to me. I have a pretty good handle on school finance as it relates to year-to-year operations, but I've never been involved in a bond referendum before. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things are new and different and challenging. So I'm doing my best to try to learn more about it. And I want our school and community to be the best that it can be, to keep allowing people to choose to come here to live. Yeah. And I don't know how to calculate the cost of doing nothing. If we continue to do nothing, if we don't do a long-term facilities plan, as you know, that's where I started this conversation. Mm-hmm. Our facilities will continue to deteriorate, and it will become impossible to repair.
Yeah, and that's where it all comes back to. You got to take care of your things now for your future. And it's not, you might not even see the fruits that come out of your labor. But the fact that it will help future generations should be cause enough to maybe just help out a little bit.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I hope that people make an informed decision, and if it passes, be supportive of continued efforts to make the plan better. And if it fails, help us to create
a new plan.
The next plan that we'll mm-hmm. consider.
Absolutely. Sonia, anything else you wanted to mention today?
No, that's it. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Sonia Meal, president at School Board. And this has been Midweek Focus for this week.